It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
Here comes a throw home. He's going to be out at home. Oh, what a throw by Soto.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
It's May now. May Day. May 1st. Yes, sir. It's gonna be May. Keith McPherson on The Fan, man. KM to 2 a.m. We're gonna talk sports. You guessed it. How'd you know? 87.7, 33.7. A six, and two more sixes get you on my show. We're obviously talking about the New York Knicks. Found a way to lose in overtime in the closeout game. First round of the series, New York versus Philadelphia, had to have it and just found a way to blow it. Multiple opportunities, just pissed it away. Sucks. It is what it is. It's not the end of the series. It should have been the end of the series. Now you got a little bit of a different series. Just the way that these series are structured with 2-2, 1-1, and 1. Now you got to go back down the turnpike. You get today off. And then you got to go back down the turnpike and face Philadelphia, which no need to fear them as far as their team, right? You're up. You got to win one game before they win two. No need to fear them as far as their fan base. Your fans have overrun their building. But I do believe they'll have a little bit more energy, a little bit more power. I think that they will at least try to stand on business when it comes to game six, which potentially could be the last game in their building. 877-337-6666. The Islanders season is over, and that's okay. Like I said before, I think Isles fans just got to chalk it up to, hey, we didn't know if this team would make the playoffs. They made the playoffs. They won a game. They didn't get swept. We'll see what happens going forward next year. The Yankees lose because the Yankees, when they face decent pitching, when they face a guy like Dean Kramer, who they've seen, and they go to Baltimore and they face a team like the 101-win Orioles from last year, they just look like they are not as good as those guys. Those guys look like they're faster. They look like they play more heads-up baseball. They look like they're more opportunistic. They're younger, and it sucks. But we are currently living in a time as Yankee fans where we watched the Orioles go from being bottom feeder bums, right? We watched the Orioles lose 100 games to now turn into a team that they're first place in the AL East and they're not going anywhere. And the Mets, I enjoyed watching that Mets game tonight. I actually was able to get the Chicago broadcast. Shout out to my guy, Doug Glanville, who was on the call. Doug had me on his show Class in Session almost a year ago, like last June. And so I got to listen to him call the game for the Cubs. Fubo doesn't carry SNY anymore. But I watched that game, and DJ Stewart won the game for the Mets on, you know, super glizzy night as they tried to sell all the hot dogs they could. And the Mets fight to stay above 500 in even that series, so you got to feel good about that. 877-337-6666. That's where we're at. The Rangers await the Carolina Hurricanes. And we await the next game of this Knicks series and the next games today for the Mets and the Yankees. Let's go to Eric in Manorville. Thanks for holding, Eric. You're on the Fan.
All right, Keith. Thanks for having me. I got to think some written down real quick, so I'm just going to go rapid fire. And with the bueno, no bueno, especially with the coaching at the end of the Knick game when they should have fouled Maxey with 20 seconds left to make him a foul shooter. But I'm just going to go down this list real quick. I'm going to go back in time. I'm going to say no bueno when Terry Collins didn't start Syndergaard in the first game of the World Series. No bueno when Buck Showalter played Vogelback. Nimmo and Platoon Nimmo when he first came up against lefties and had Alvarez batting ninth when he first came up. We'll go to a positive with the bueno with the Steve Spagnuolo getting to know that Tom Brady had defensive signs when he was on Philly. And the next year when they played the Giants, he knew Tom Brady had their calls, and he switched them up when he had two defensive backs calling the plays, and that was one of the reasons why they won that game. And then I'm going to go with a big no bueno with Patrick Waugh having Barzell on the bench in that game too, when they pulled the goalie, and they tied it up, and he was still on the bench. And I'm a former coach. I coach baseball, hockey, roller hockey, basketball, volleyball, flag football. I'm saying, how do you have this guy on the bench? I am the fans. I wanted the Islanders to win and go get the Rangers, you know? I'm not worried about the Knicks. They're going to win the next game. Hopefully they get their, you know, they get their strategy together. But, I mean, I'm just watching some of the things over the years with these coaches. It's like, I don't know how much the front office puts in, but I think the coaches mean a lot in the last couple of, you know, in big games, and the personnel and the strategy. So I'll leave it at that. Thanks for having me on again, Keith.
Thanks for holding. Thanks for being prepared. What I'll say to that is, you know, when I watch these games and I think about the power that coaches have, and then when they forget that they have that power and they don't do things like calling timeouts, like making substitutions, not affecting the game, I say, what the hell are you doing? That's your whole job. You're not sitting there watching like a fan. You have the power to change the game. If there's a run going on, call timeout. If there's a guy on the bench that can affect the game, get him in there. But that's how a lot of these guys get fired, too. And fans aren't dumb. Fans know what needs to go on. Fans know exactly what needs to happen in the moment. I know you Knicks fans were like, hey, foul, call time. What's going on? Frank is in New Haven, Connecticut, next up on the Fan in New York. Hello, Frank.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good, good.
I just want to talk about how you, just like me, just like all Knicks fans, we were kind of expecting, almost hoping for that win tonight in the Garden. Out of all the people, I would have guessed Maxey dropping 46 points. What can we do to stop that? Because Embiid, as it goes on, it seems to be more lunkerish, more tired, especially in the fourth quarter. You can see he doesn't move as good. But Maxey just, I mean, he had a hot hand tonight. How do we stop that next game?
You send two at him. You try to neutralize him. You don't let him just shoot the ball. You don't let him just run around and get off 30 shots. But I don't think you're going to get that out of him again. That was a desperation, do-or-die, back-against-the-wall performance from an elite athlete. That kid left it all out on the floor. They asked him after the game. He felt like his life was on the line. Mandatory. Had to do it.
Yeah, he saved their asses. He saved the series, you know?
And that's why he's going to be paid a lot of money, and that's why they have him as the Robin to Embiid's Batman. Embiid was ready to pack it up. Embiid was giving the game away. He had 9 turnovers.
You could see it. You could just see it in his whole body language and everything. He's just tired and lumbering around.
Because he's lost every year. It's a familiar feeling setting in. He was ready to take the L. Maxey was like, hell no. So we'll see.
Thanks for taking my call, man. Love your show. Love the Fan. Been listening to it since my grandfather turned me on to it on his station and his Taurus back when I was a kid in the early 90s. I love you guys. You guys keep so many New Yorkers entertained, and we love it.
Thanks for the call, Frank. I'm right there with you. Understand that. Appreciate that. I mean, on a night like this, you kind of need the radio, you know? On a night like this, when you, like I said, there's some OG Knicks fans that experienced the Reggie Miller 8 points and then just saw what Tyrese Maxey did, and they're like, nah. And, you know, I had some callers saying, like, oh, well, you know, it's the misery of Knicks fans. Knicks fans are used to this. No, this is different. This is different. That's not a part of this group of Knicks, right? They're not the same old Knicks. They're not the LOL Knicks. They just got caught in the moment, didn't execute, missed some free throws, turned the ball over, didn't foul. And I think what happens is when you start to think that you've got it in the bag and you start to rest a little bit and you're going against an opponent that they're not resting at all. They are on edge. They don't want their season to end. They're giving it everything. You get got. You leave Maxey to hit a three like that. It's there for the take. You don't foul. That changes the game. And then in overtime, you miss a free throw here. You don't have a run. You miss some shots. They capitalize. It's all right. It's okay. It's already Wednesday. The Knicks will be back on the floor tomorrow night in Philadelphia. Let's go to Jason out in Brooklyn on the Fan. What's up, Ken?
Yeah, how you doing?
You know, I'm all right. Just talking the talk.
All right, yeah. So here's what I'm thinking. After game three with the whole Joel Embiid thing, right? See, everyone's saying, oh, foul him, foul him. Here's the thing. Okay, in the heat of the moment, you want to foul him. Okay, so that you got to do. But after that, you can't just get up there and get in game four and start beating him up.
Yes.
The one thing that you got to do right then and there is to win the next two games. That's the one thing that Joel Embiid can't stand. He loses every time, and he knows it. And to give it to him, that's the one thing
right.
that he hates. So I'm a little disappointed tonight. You really could have just given it to them.
It should have been curtains, blouses, game,
it definitely should have.
Series.
And that's the way you really could have gotten at Joel Embiid.
See, these young guys got it,
man. You don't gotta kick him. You just gotta win the game.
You young guys
got
it.
And you put it up right there.
I listen to the Fan, and I listen to all these old men talk about, you know what? You gotta give him a hard elbow. Send Jericho Sims at him. What? What are you talking about, bro? Embiid is the reigning MVP. He's the biggest guy on the floor. You're not going to play his game. He's hobbled on one leg. You're going to try and fight him the way he tried to fight you in game three? No. Because he's going to get that whistle. He's going to get the superstar treatment. The way you get under his skin is you score points. You win the game. You extend the lead. They had a 10-point lead at one point in this game. And that's when Embiid starts to fold. That's when he gets frustrated.
Exactly.
That's when he
and
feels
as you were saying, you saw it in Embiid. He was ready to go. He was done. Giving him this win, this is just like letting him punch you in the face.
Giving him this win gives him the thoughts tonight, and you know all those people around him that support him and the Sixers are like, hey, you said we're winning the series. We're not dead yet. We win one at home on our floor where we're comfortable. We force a game seven. Anything can happen, Joel. You might be right.
Exactly.
I don't think he's right. Thanks for the call, Jason. 877-337-6666. I think this is a Knicks team that is young, average age 26. I think this is a Knicks team that was ready to party and celebrate with the Garden crowd and the Knicks crowd that are so hungry and thirsty to, clinch a series, to gentlemen sweep a series. And you got ahead of yourself a little bit. And that's what happens in sports. That's what happens in a series. That's basketball. It's a game of inches. It's a game of little mistakes. And when you look at this series, like game two for the Knicks, the ball bounced your way. They didn't call fouls. They let them play, and you were able to steal that game. Well, you know, this time in the Garden, this night that just passed, it didn't go your way. Ball bounced their way. Things worked in their favor. It's a series. It's a seven-game series. Could have been Knicks in five. Now you got to fight and try and make it Knicks in six. Let's go to Jarvis up in Harlem back on the Fan. What you thinking about, Jarvis?
I'm thinking about the Knicks, but I'm just shocked. I'm just shocked, man. I can't believe that the Knicks defender, didn't sound Maxey. I mean, you gave him too much space in a game of wide open three. And then tie the game up. I'm like, oh my gosh! I just hold my head like, what?
And if
what's
that
going
ball
on,
clanks
man?
Off the back of the rim, it's a different game. But you know, big time players make big time plays in big time games, and that's why he is who he is.
Yeah, because that's my. I'm a Nuggets fan because they two nights ago, Jamal Murray had a game winning jump shot. So. Lucky it was a close game. We won by beating the Lakers. Now we get 4 days off and, 4 day rest, and we don't play until Saturday against Minnesota, which is a rematch of the first round against these same guys, Minnesota. And the first one we won in series of five games. Now it's gonna be a good game. It's gonna be a good game, for Saturday night game. So we have home court advantage in the two seed, you know, so, yeah, but...
I think the Nuggets win this whole thing again, not for nothing, and I don't know if I've said it on the fan. I think the Nuggets win the whole thing again.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, what if the Knicks don't win game six and then Joel and Boo put up 50 points against the Knicks, man?
What if?
There's going to be pressure on the Knicks in game seven.
It's all pressure, right? There was pressure tonight to close out at home. They had it won three different times. Couldn't do it.
Oh, my God. I'll be shocked. If they lose this series in seven against the Sixers, man, oh, boy, that would be a worse collapse.
Then we're going to go back to all the takes about Julius Randle. When I was drinking the Haterade and Julius Randle went down, I said they won't survive the first round. But now...
BT talking about, like, whoa, the Knicks can win without Julius Randle. I'm like, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. Like, are you serious?
Well, it's starting to rain. It's starting to, like, kind of, like, ring true. Because you saw tonight, it's always been a two-man game with the Sixers, with Embiid and Maxey. Embiid didn't have 30 tonight. He didn't have 50 tonight. But Tobias Harris stepped his game up. Kelly Oubre scored some points. And obviously, Maxey won the game for them. If it's not Brunson, who's winning the game for the Knicks? It's not DiVincenzo. Josh Hart, maybe. Josh Hart's offensive game is not like that, bro. I watch his game. He's a good player, but I'm like, man, if he just worked on like three or four shots that he knows he can make, that he can make blindfolded, he would be such a better player. There's so many shots that he misses, free throws that he misses, and he's a dog. He's a scrappy type player, but right now the Knicks don't have a secondary scorer, and Julius Randle would be that.
Yeah, yeah. But all right, Keith. Thanks for the call. Thanks.
You got it. Thanks for the call, Jarvis. I don't know. Now I have said they evolved without Julius Randle. They are a different team without Julius Randle. You still need that 25-10. You still need that presence. You still need Julius Randle's presence on the floor would change the entire series because the Sixers are trying to bully. They're trying to be tough. They're trying to punk the Knicks just because they have a little bit of a size advantage. You put Julius Randle on the floor, Julius Randle's not going for that. But he's not here. He's not available. They had to shut him down. So the team is what the team is. They have to go forward, make adjustments, survive. And I think that they can knock the Sixers off at home. The Sixers are hobbled. The Knicks, they have some injuries too with you know, Mitch banged up a little bit and Boyan out, Bogdanovich out. But I don't expect heroics from Maxey. I don't expect another 40, almost 50-point game from Maxey. And Embiid, him playing five games so far, I don't think his knee is miraculously getting any better overnight. He's going to go to sleep tonight, coming up, have two sleeps and going in that game. I don't know what type of training and rehab and medical treatment they have to get Embiid ready to go. I know he's still effective, but he's really on one leg. So it's him and Maxey. As long as you keep those other role players in check, Brunson's got to give you 40, which he has now. 39, 47, 40. It seems like he's found his way to score in this series. But like I think it's DiVincenzo. DiVincenzo's got to score 20. He's got to shoot the ball. It can't be relying on Josh Hart. Josh Hart was 7-17. And it can't be relying on OG Anunoby too. He's a defender. He's not a offensive scorer, weapon like that. And that's what happens in a series as well as we get back to the calls. They're all Knicks calls. When you start to – in the NBA, you play a team once, you go on to the next team. And then they started this home-and-home series where you play a team twice. But in a series – you start to get real familiar with each other. You start to know each other's tendencies. You start to know each other's moves. You start to be able to, you know, read where guys are going. It gets interesting. Steve is in Saratoga next up on the fan. What's up, Steve?
Hey, I love your show, by the way. Listen every night.
Thank you.
So, very happy about the Rangers. Get that out of the way.
Yeah.
I didn't want to face Carolina, though. I was rooting for the Islanders.
Man, go beat them. You want to be the best, you got to beat the best. Don't be afraid of anybody. The Rangers can beat them, and that's going to make for even a more exciting series.
Yeah, they're zoned in, and Shesterkin is phenomenal now, so that's great. Watching the Knicks game, very disappointing. Josh Hart, man, I mean, this guy, he's a choker. He missed two foul shots the game before, and you could see that first one. He was nervous about taking a foul shot.
Of course.
And, you know, and that would have sealed the game. Why did Brunson pass the ball to him? Just hold
on
to it.
That's the play to make, right? You got to give the ball up if you've got nothing there. That's basketball. If they're doubling you or if they trap you, you got to give the ball up.
But they had a foul. So let him foul Brunson. They had to foul because the clock would have run out.
You hope that your guy can knock down
away from the foul.
Free throws. He missed 5 3-point shots. He didn't hit his only 3-point shot until late in the third quarter. And that's why I'm like, Josh Hart needs to work on his offensive game where, like when you watch Brunson, he's polished and he looks like he's worked on those moves 1,000 times a month.
Josh Hart
sometimes puts some shots up where nobody's confident. He's not even confident and he's letting the ball go.
That first foul shot, it was like he was still in college taking that shot. It was terrible. And he shouldn't have been in the game to begin with at that point. Why is he in the game? You know, the guys with the foul shots, it's in the head.
He's a starter. He gets rebounds. He plays defense. He hustles.
He's going to
be in the game. Yeah, their bench is short right now. He's going to be
in the short, game. But they could have put anybody else in there, but not him. He can't shoot free throws. It's in his head. He can't shoot. Right now, he can't shoot. So he's tremendous on the defensive end. He's got a lot of energy and everything, but the guy can't shoot now. So
beginning of the series, and everybody said they're daring him to shoot. How long will he be able to shoot at, you know, he shot at a 16.7% from deep. I think he was shooting at close to like a 30-40% in the beginning of the series.
And last criticism in overtime, they were taking too many threes. I don't know why Brunson did that. Brunson's got such a great shot when he goes up to the basket, gets up just, you know, a few feet from the basket, but beautiful.
And that's
floater.
Coaching too. In overtime of game five, your legs are getting heavy. You don't have the same lift on your 3-point shot, man. Get to the rack.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And use up the clock a little bit. Just play more of an inside game.
They had a 5-point lead in overtime. Slow it down.
Exactly. And then with a 5-point lead, Brunson chucks up a three. Why do that?
He's got nothing else.
Eat up the clock. Pass the ball a little bit. Get inside. Like, he's so good at that. And Brunson really blew the game, too. The bad passes.
Yeah.
Giving the ball to Hart.
And he's not above. He's not above that. Thanks for the call, Steve. As I hear people saying Brunson is, you know, the best Nick since Clyde Frazier. I felt like that's premature. As I hear folks saying Brunson is the king of New York, hell, I was putting Juan Soto over Brunson as king of New York. That's premature. But what I'm saying is Jalen Brunson hasn't gotten the Knicks out of the first round. We're already saying he's king of New York. We're already saying he's the best Knick since Walt Clyde Frazier. That puts him over so many guys that have got out of the first round. And I understand 47 points, that's historic. That puts him in a class of his own but like you can't put him over Ewing, who did it year after year. You can't put him over Carmelo either. I get it. I understand in high regard, like, you know, that's where you hold this guy because he's a point guard that you always wanted. But what are they gonna say about Jalen Brunson if he doesn't win another game this series? That'd be crazy, right? What a plot twist. 877-337-6666. He's not above reproach. Got to hit your free throws. Got to take the right shots. Got to make the right plays down the stretch. I saw a same game parlay on FanDuel, and I'm taking a break from gambling myself. You should take breaks, too, if you gamble. Or just don't gamble at all. Just delete all the apps right now. You're just going to lose. You're never going to win. But the same game parlay... I want to go back to, because I forget how many points and assists it had for Brunson. Brunson got his 6 assists. I think he had 6 assists in the parlay, and they had him scoring over 25 points. Forget the other parameters of it, but I was like, I'm not taking that parlay. Either way, it's one game. It's one game. Andy's in Torrington, Connecticut on the Fan next. What you got for us, Andy? Andy! Hey, yo, Andy! You sleep? You sound like you fell asleep. And the phone is in between the sheets, covers. Andy, I hear you moving around. Do you hear me? Are you listening to the radio? What? You got your AirPods in, speakerphone? All right, I got to put Andy on hold, man. Here we go, folks. Coming up in about 90 minutes, Chris McMonagle for the Loopy on the Late Night, for the overnight calls, for the... Hello? Am I on the air? Me? This is me, Andy from Torrington, Connecticut? Keith? Yeah, you're live. Go! Now Andy's not on the line anymore, so we're going to go to the west side, talk to Noah on the Fan. Go for it, Noah. I know you're ready.
I'm ready, Keith. I'm ready. I just came from a game. Got a few observations, but okay. I want to say that it's great that you're covering the Knicks really in depth because they're a big, big part of this town. So really appreciate it.
Of course.
I told you I was at the game, and I want to say two things. One, the Knicks world is not crashing. That team has a lot of great players. I don't want to moan on Hart, DiVincenzo, any of these guys, because they have been playing really well, and so has Brunson, and they've gotten it to 3-1 lead, and then up by 6 with 26 seconds. They did their job and really got kind of blown away and shocked. But I want to say that the difference tonight, and I'm going to criticize Brunson, which doesn't usually happen, but he didn't distribute this evening. He didn't get the other guys into the game. And Hartenstein can score. OG can score. DiVincenzo can score, especially when they're moving towards the basket. But Brunson just didn't get the assist tonight. It didn't look like he was trusting his teammates. And that was concerning. So they're going to close it out. They're going to win this thing. The Knicks world is not falling. That team has done incredible stuff and will continue to do it. And they were literally 26 seconds from closing this thing out in five games.
Yep.
So I give them a lot of credit. They did get shocked. You know, that was just a crazy ending. But no more crazy than game two. So, you know, but I do think what was different tonight was not the defense. They didn't shoot well, but Brunson didn't go off for 47 or 50. He went off for 40, but he wasn't getting the other guys involved.
Yeah.
I don't think Harden.
He had a turnover late. He missed a free throw. His shot selection. I think if I haven't heard his post game, but if he had the opportunity to speak on it, I think he himself would say, I got to be better. I got to close out.
Yeah, but I don't even think it's so much him being better. He's just got to.
Not just him. Mitchell Robinson took accountability. OG Anunoby, Josh Hart, these guys. They understand it's a game of inches. A couple different things could have changed the outcome. It's just deflating because everybody was thinking, Knicks in five, this is it. We don't got to go back to Philly. We packed them up. Series over. Embiid's got a headache going into the game. They're cooked. They're done. And like there was five different times in the fourth quarter and overtime combined where you thought, okay, the Knicks got this game. The Knicks are winning this game.
But Brunson's their leader. And he didn't get the other guys. He didn't seem to trust the other guys this evening. And that was why, effectively, they lost the game in the end. The sky is not falling. Josh Hart is an amazing player. These guys are incredible. And they play together so beautifully. And they give the effort. And they're gonna close this thing out. They just got shot tonight, but they were in the position. But I do think Brunson needs to distribute more. Maybe fewer points, a lot more assists.
Thanks for the call, Noah. I'll defend Brunson. Maybe he saw DiVincenzo go 1-for-7 from three-point land. Maybe he saw Josh Hart also go 1-for-6 from three-point land. These guys don't have it. It's on me to close it out. I mean, he hit 4 out of 11 of his threes. Maybe he just felt like, hey, I got the hot hand. I've been cooking. This is game 5 now. I know my spots. I know where I can get my shots off. I know, you know, how to attack this team. He went off for 40. It's just in a loss. And like I said, man, who is the Batman or who is the Robin to his Batman? He's Batman for this team, but sometimes Batman needs Robin's help. You need a sidekick. It needs to be a tag team effort, a duo. Tonight, Tyrese Maxey turned into Nightwing. He just was a superhero. It was not Embiid. Embiid looked like he was ready to pack it up. He was ready to say, oh, yeah, you know, blame it on my headache, my Bell's palsy, the fans didn't show up. Oh, I was, you know, I was meted up after the game when I guaranteed a series victory. What I'll say is this before we break here. Every game in a series is different. I don't think you're getting another 46-point performance out of Tyrese Maxey. That was situational. That was do or die, back against the wall. Season could end tonight. Joel doesn't have it. Joel has turned over the ball 9 times. It is on me to put this team and this city on my back. I refuse to lose. And for the Knicks, they left the door open. That's what happens. You leave that back door just cracked even a little bit. Somebody's coming through to steal all your stuff. 877-337-6666. I do want to plant some seeds with the Yankee fans. I think we heard that Gerrit Cole is not coming off the 60-day IL. That June 1st target point might not be for real. Today is May 1st. That's a month away. Gerrit Cole is not a month away. I haven't heard much of anything on Jason Dominguez. Every night, Yankee fans, you hear me say the lineup is the lineup, the team is the team. Did we hear anything on Alex Verdugo and the birth of his daughter? Was that done? No rush. I'm not like some of these weirdo Yankee fans on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram that are saying, oh, well, we need Verdugo. He picked the wrong time. No. Respect that man and his family. He'll be back. He'll be back. But there's a obvious difference between what they had over the weekend in Milwaukee with Alex Verdugo batting cleanup in the lineup versus now what they've had the last 2 nights against the Baltimore Orioles. And I'm sorry, folks. Hate to break it to you. This is going to go on all season. Maybe even into the postseason. The Baltimore Orioles are a good team. They're a first-place team. They have a few good players, and they're not going anywhere. And they're damn sure not afraid of the New York Yankees. On the Mets side, Mets fans, call me up. Tell me how you feel. You're still above 500. You're pitching well enough. You're getting some timely hitting. I know it's like you feel like they take a step forward, then take 2 steps back, then take another step forward. It's like they're treading water a little bit. But, I mean, what else can you ask for? A lot of folks thought that they were going to go defeated. A lot of folks thought that they were punting the season. A lot of folks thought that they would never see 500 again. Your ace is on the way back. Kodai Senga is set to face hitters. Kodai Senga is on the mend. That can only help with Luis Severino looking like an ace and you getting value out of some of your other arms. We got to break them up against it, but now I'm taking calls from the Yankee fans and the Mets fans as the Yankees lose the first 2 games of the series. The Mets split the first 2 games of the series. And, of course, we're talking Knicks until 2 a.m. when C-Mac comes through. Keith McPherson on the Fan, BRB.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Mattingly swings and he has a drive to deep right center. It is high, it is far, it is gone. Back to back, Nina belly to belly.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
It's all right. KM to 2 a.m. Keith McPherson on The Fan talking to these Knicks fans. And you might win some, but you just lost one. But I don't think it's a loss that you can look at as like, oh, man, the momentum completely shifted. We're going to lose the series now. Like, the more I'm looking at it, the more I just understand it is a game of inches. They'll learn from this game. You won't have as much of a desperate Sixers team. Maybe you got to deal a little bit with their fans in Philly, but you have to win one game before they win two, and you were able to win three games before they won two. So it's a series. The series is on. It is what it is. The NBA wants the series to go long, right? I talked earlier tonight about how these other series, sweep, gentlemen sweep. So, you know, New York versus Philly are two major markets for sports, specifically basketball. And, you know, two diehard fan bases. They don't want to see it be Knicks in five. They want to see it go to distance. And there's so many pundits that just swore up and down that the Sixers were going to win the series. Right? That it wouldn't be that easy. So, it is what it is, man. Hold your head. Move on. I know it's tough to go to sleep because you thought tonight was a celebration. You thought tonight was a party. I think the Indiana Pacers thought it was a party tonight, too. They take a 3-1 series lead into Milwaukee. Milwaukee doesn't have Damian Lillard or Giannis Antetokounmpo, and they lose that game, and it was not close. 115-92. Not sure what happened there. I need to see the highlights. And the box score. Let's go to Michael in Little Ferry, New Jersey on The Fan. Welcome back, Mike.
Hey, Keith. Really nice talking to you again.
Yes, sir.
Keith, I totally understand your pain, man. As I told you last night, huge Pacers fan. I was hoping the Knicks and Pacers close it out tonight. The Knicks had a heartbreaker. The Pacers didn't even keep it close.
Yeah, it's not my pain. I ain't no Knicks fan. My pain is more like the Dallas Cowboys re-signing Ezekiel Elliott after they say they go all in. My pain is like Yankee fans telling me, oh, it's all right. Aaron Judge is going to get it together. Gleyber Torres is going to end up, and like, this is supposed to be a World Series team. That's more my pain right now.
I got you. Yeah. But, man, I'm telling you, like, the Pacers, and now they're saying that Game 6, Giannis might come back, and also Damian Lillard might come back.
How
but now
convenient.
For the Pacers. Exactly. And so now for the Pacers, this Game 6 is their Game 7 because you don't want to go back to Milwaukee tied 3-3.
It's talk about a must win. Yeah, it's a must win in the first round is a must win for the Pacers.
Huge, because then if the Pacers lose game six, then you go back to Milwaukee. They have all the momentum. It's not good, but
yeah.
I still want the Knicks and Pacers.
I know some pain game seven with the Bucks in Brooklyn.
With the toe.
Was that that game?
Kevin Durant.
Yeah. I low-key went viral on Nets Twitter because everybody else was celebrating in the arena, and I didn't flinch. I just looked up, and
yep.
I'm like, nah, we're Nets fans. Like, we don't get that. We're going to lose. That was a two.
Hey, also, Keith, I obviously know you're a fan of the Brooklyn Nets, but back in 2002, do you remember the Reggie Miller shot?
Of course. Everyone does.
I was at that game. That was awesome, man. Like, half-court shot. It went double overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Crazy, crazy times, man.
This is
but
the NBA. This is what happens, right? Some of the best players in the world are able to tap into their skills. A Tyrese Maxey shot from the E in New York tonight.
Yeah. Yep.
Takes the game to OT, and they win it in OT.
So true.
And that's why we watch, and that's why we bet on these things. That's why the ticket prices are so high. Thanks for the call, Michael. And that's why we have a 24/7, 365 radio station where hosts like myself talk about every facet of the game, the players, the fans, the arena, and then you call with your thoughts and your takes, and that's what we're doing tonight. Mark's in Suffern next up on The Fan. Go for it, Mark.
Hey, what's up, Keith?
You know, hanging in there.
You're a first-time caller, long-time listener.
Appreciate it.
All right, we got to talk about Tibbs. I love Tibbs. I was wondering why he wasn't in the conversation for Coach of the Year with all the injuries the Knicks had. But two stuff.
Because
I didn't
all the players voted, and they voted him the most least likable coach, or the coach they'd like to play for the least.
Yeah, but his record has a strong statement.
I think his players and players that have played for him, they respect him. I listened to Kendrick Perkins go on Knicks Fan TV today and talk about his relationship with Tibbs. I think he's highly respected, but he's just got a rap of, like, I don't know, players don't want to play for him and they won't give him his props.
Yeah, but there were two stuff I didn't like today. Number one was when you were up and they were fouling, Hart's got to get the ball to Brunson. He's the best free throw shooter on your team.
Yeah, he's got to have the ball in his hands.
I don't know why, and it wasn't like he was in triple coverage. He could have gotten him on the right side. He could have gotten him. And another thing, I thought when they should have fouled when they were up by three, and sure enough, Maxey had that shot. But hey, I'm not worried. I think we still got it. We're gonna go to Game 6, going to Philly. It's gonna be a dogfight. We get a hard fought win. I wouldn't be surprised if that game's nice and spicy. And you know, we still got this.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Yeah, it could be Knicks in 6. You can end it in front of their fans in Philly on their floor. I'm sure some Knicks fans are looking at tickets and going to go down there. You took over their building twice. Make it a third time. It might not be as easy this time. It's going to be a night game, a Thursday night going into Friday, where I already know if you're flipping through the free Odyssey app and you turn to WIP right now, they got to be firing up their Philadelphians. They got to be firing up their fan base to say, hey, come out. Everybody, clap your hands for Philadelphia. They have the worst victory song. That stupid song that they play from like the 60s, 70s after the Sixers win. They need to get rid of that. But yeah, I guarantee you they're trying to rally the troops. I guarantee you now they're going to come out of the woodwork with their Allen Iverson jerseys on and try and stand up and defend home turf and back Embiid after Embiid called them out. I'm not calling the fans out, but it's kind of embarrassing that they weren't there. This is Philadelphia. You guys show up for the Eagles. You guys show up for the Phillies. How come you guys didn't show up to see me flop around, throw my hands in the air, try and fight the other team, and cry for a whistle? Ray is out in Brooklyn on the Fan. What's up, Ray?
Yo, Keith, check this out, man. Let me talk to my idiotic fan base real quick. So, the Knicks, right? So, first of all, you guys are playing a song that's very apropos, 24 Hours to Live. That's what Philly got, man, 24 Hours to Live. So, Embiid, we already know, man. He already packed it in. He already made every alibi he could possibly make, like he does every other year. And Maxey's not going to save them again, just like James Harden saved them last year. Same scenario, Game 5 against Boston. They went in Boston to extend the series. Everybody was hyped because they went to Philly for Game 6. And he laid his ass down like he always does. So with these Knicks fans, you know, trying to blame Brunson, man. Yo, listen, y'all should shut up. Y'all soft, man. That's number one. Because the man, we wouldn't be where we at if it's not with him. And, okay, I could say there was a possession or two where I'm like, all right, Brunson, you could have, you know, that's a little bit of hero ball. But you know what? He got it there. DiVincenzo has been, other than that Game 2 shot, he's been a bum. He needs to wake up, man. I don't know what the hell's wrong with him. You know, these guys got two all-world players on the team. My man Brunson is by himself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Hart showed up way more than DiVincenzo, but even he's not.
He doesn't have the offensive bag. He's just not like that.
Right. Neither does Ananobi. Come on, man. Give my man Brunson a little bit of slack. This guy's been heroic. He's been the best player on the floor in the series. Look at the numbers. Embiid is shooting 35% in 4 out of 5 games. He's shooting about 42% in total, and that's only because of that one ridiculous game he had. He's a bum, man. They go home. They did the same thing last year. It is what it is. I appreciate it, man. Yo, but all you Knicks fans, man, stop crying, man. Listen, this is what – and he's going to do what he does. They go home next game, man. See, yeah.
Second loss of the series. It's all good. Thanks for the call, Ray. You know, as I mentioned, Philadelphia and the Phillies, their fans show up for Red October. I just scrolled through my timeline, and the Phillies game goes final against Anaheim, and the Philadelphia Phillies are MLB's first team to reach 20 wins this year. That pisses me off because the Yankees should have had 20 wins last week. The Yankees split a series with the Oakland A's. The Yankees blew the first game against the Milwaukee Brewers. The Yankees dropped the first two games of the series because they can only score. They lost the first game 2-0. They lost by 2 runs. They lost the second game by 2 runs, 4-2. The Yankees should already have. The Yankees are at 19 wins. The Yankees should already have 20 wins. That graphic should have said the New York Yankees are the first team in baseball to 20 wins. And they'll probably mess around today with young Luis Gil on the mound versus Corbin Burnes, who won the NL Cy Young a couple years back. They'll probably mess around and lose 3 in a row here, lose the series, and give the Orioles their 20th win of the season and still be holding at 19. 877-337-6666. So, yeah, Game 6 of the Knicks-Sixers game is at 9 p.m. on Thursday. Well, that's late. Oh, guess who's got a 5-hour KM to AM on the fan during that entire match? Me, that's who. You guessed it. I'll be on 7 p.m. to 12 on Thursday, and we'll be watching that game, and we'll be taking your calls when that game ends. But, I mean, if it's a 9 o'clock game, I see, like, bro, I already know what they're trying to do. This is... You could almost see the script writing itself, folks. They're going back to Philly. It's a 9 o'clock start. There's not even any games. Like, let me look at the NBA schedule and see who else is playing. Like I said, all these other series are done. A 9 o'clock tip-off? Pacers-Bucks is going to be... That's what I'm saying. There's only one other game. So Pacers-Bucks is going to be at 6:30. Is Indiana in the central time zone? Why do they get the 6:30 Eastern time game? What they want is those Philly fans to get nice and lathered up out there in the parking lot, throw back a couple drinks, and be ready to go to fight y'all 9 o'clock to 11:30 down there at Wells Fargo. You heard Jay from Philly call maybe an hour ago and say, hey, for you Knicks fans coming down here, it's not going to be like it was Sunday. It's not a day game at all. It's not Sunday night. It is Thursday night, Thirsty Thursday. They are setting the stage. It has been a hard-fought series. It has been a battle. It's been physical. Here it is, folks. Thursday, tomorrow, May the 2nd, 9 p.m., Game 6, Knicks versus Sixers, 877-337-6666. Let's take a break here. I've got about an hour left. I got exactly an hour left. Taking your calls on the Knicks. Hopefully I said something that triggered a Yankee fan that wants to call in, but seems like Yankee fans are standing down because what is there to talk about? You just lost 2 games. You can hope to split against the Orioles, but like I said, against Corbin Burnes tomorrow, you can't hit good pitching. You haven't been able to hit Dean Kramer and Grayson Rodriguez. We don't expect you to hit Corbin Burnes the first time you face him, and that's a guy that Yankee fans were saying, Brian Cashman, make a trade, get us Corbin Burnes. Nope, instead, the Orioles front office, their new ownership group and whatnot, they get it done. And, yeah, we'll see him soon. Keith McPherson on the fan, talking about the Knicks, looking ahead now to this Game 6 matchup, talking about the Yankees, and I'll sprinkle some Mets stuff in as well this last hour. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.